Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, pastor at First Christian Conroe. Welcome to our Sunday worship podcast. It's been a busy week around here. Our food ministry is going like gangbusters, feeding anywhere from 120 to 150 families every week. In fact, also we took part this past Saturday at a big food distribution down at Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church under the leadership of Reverend C.J. Plattenberg, our good friend, and some of our volunteers worked in that distribution. Our board has been in conversation, led by our board chair, Amy Lacey, about when we will begin live worship with all of the safety procedures that we're going to need. It looks like maybe sometime in mid-September we can get back to live worship, but I want you to know that even when we do get back to live worship, I will also continue the drive-through communion on Sunday morning and both the midweek and the worship podcast. I know some of y'all just are not ready to come back to live worship, and we want to be able for you to worship with your church family in spirit, if not live. The other good news is that Shirley will be back in the office the first part of September sometime. I am so anxious to have her back. She does a good job of keeping me under control. We're also trying to figure out what and if we can do a pumpkin patch this year and what it will look like. I hope that we can. It would be a shame for the Pumpkin Patch Church of Conroe not to have a pumpkin patch. So I hope we'll be able to do that. And I hope you have been calling and keeping in contact with each other and sharing a kind word with each other during this time. We need to keep each other's spirits up during this time of pandemic. Now, let's take just a moment to get quiet, listen to some music, and prepare ourselves to be in an attitude of worship.
Should be.
our call to worship will be responsive, and it will be based on the lectionary Psalm 24. And your response will be, "The Lord is on our side." Let us remember, when the world seemingly turns against us, the Lord is on our side. When isolation and grief threaten to swallow us, when fear grips our hearts and threatens to darken our souls, yes, God is with us now and always. The Lord is on our side. Let us worship the Lord our God together. As we go to God in prayer, we need to have several concerns on our hearts this week. Of course, we will be praying for the preachers and the principals and all those whose charge is to take care of our children as school commences. Also, for those in the health field whose job it is to find a cure, a vaccine for this terrible coronavirus, we pray for the wisdom that they need to come to this conclusion. We also lift up in prayer, I want you to remember Lou Ann Henderson in your prayers and the sudden death of her husband Richard a little over a week ago. I was able to be with Lou Ann and her family with a graveside service in College Station this past Saturday. Keep Megan Schneider in your prayer. She's having a lot of medical procedures lately, and she needs to be held in prayer. Also, Walt Welborn, as we pray that he continues to recover from his surgery, but also for the loss that he has felt in the death of his girlfriend recently. I know there are others that we need to hold in prayer, and I would advise you to have your prayer request list with you as we continue to pray. Let's go to God in prayer. Loving God, we proclaim today that because you are with us, nothing can be against us. So just as you are with us, we are with you. We're ready to give you our praise and thanksgiving for your abiding love and your continued presence with us. Help us to come closer to you each day as we seek to grow in the light of our faith. Bless us as we come together in prayer. We have lifted up to you those of whom we are aware who are in need of your healing grace. Bless them. Be with them. Guide them. Lord, we are grateful that you have called us out today, and we continue to pray to you in the way that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
To me, save that thou. I ever with thee, and thou with
As we prepare to bring our gifts and tithes and offerings to God, I want you to think for a moment about the word that Paul spoke to the Romans. Paul said to them, "Do not be conformed to this world." But really, but the world is so cool. It's got all the gadgets and technology and attractions and bright colors and shiny things that release our dopamine and make us feel good. And we like to feel good. So what's wrong with conforming to the world? Well, the answer to that is if we conform, we can't be transformed. Paul calls us to be living sacrifices. That's a hard word to hear, isn't it? A living sacrifice. But it's a concept that goes squarely against what the world calls us to be and do. If we follow the world, we are supposed to consume, not sacrifice. We're supposed to take, not give. We're supposed to conform, not be transformed. But the gifts that God has given us are not meant to be used for ourselves, but for the building up of the body of Christ. We are called to sacrifice some of what we have in order to be transformed from people of this world to children of God. And each of us has been called to be a child of God. Each and every day we give in order to be transformed. Let's collect our tithes and offerings. Gracious God, you have given us so much and called us to share it with others. May we use our gifts, including our resources, to transform ourselves in this world to look more like your kingdom. May this sacrifice be pleasing to you, O God. May it be good and acceptable and perfect in your sight. Amen. As we prepare to come around the table together, we have to admit, Jesus is hard to pin down. Sometimes he welcomes little children into his presence, but at other times he turns over tables and chases the money changers out of the temple. At times he touches lepers and casts out demons. But at other times he scolds the disciples for their lack of faith or turns away even his own family. He comforts sinners yet curses religious leaders. Who is this Jesus anyway? Well, who do you say that Jesus is? I'll talk a little more about that in my sermon. But when we come to this table, we are making a bold claim about Jesus' identity for us. Along with Peter, we are saying that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and we are accepting the gifts he offers us at this table. While others may push and pull to claim that they only and only they know who Jesus really is, we must simply humble ourselves at this table, not seeking to take anything but to receive. It's not so much our responsibility to know Jesus as it is our responsibility to let ourselves be known by him. When we take these elements, we are opening ourselves to the presence of Christ within us. We are not just claiming who Christ is. We are letting ourselves be claimed by the one who died so that we may know new life. Come to this table making the bold statement that Christ is not just the Messiah, but that Christ is your Messiah. Let us share in communion together. Bless this holy meal, O God, to nourish our souls, and bless us to your continued service for Christ's sake. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the lectionary gospel. I'm going to be reading from Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. And Jesus asked them, "Well, who do the people say that I am?" Have you noticed it when you're reading the New Testament that Jesus is always teaching his disciples? He's always bringing them forward and trying to drag the truth out of them. He is trying to teach them who he is and what his job is. Where you see the children of Israel had been expecting a Messiah for a very long time. They were expecting a kingly Messiah. A kingly Messiah who would vanquish their enemies and reestablish the kingdom of Israel in the house of David. They wanted the grandeur that David and Solomon had brought to the Israelites. They wanted to rebuild Jerusalem in the might and the power and the wealth and the influence that it had of old. They wanted to overthrow Roman rule. When in fact, a few years later, Rome would totally and utterly destroy Jerusalem. You see, they wanted a political solution to their existence. But what Jesus brought was a spiritual solution to the meaning of life. And he asked all of them, "But who do you say that I am?" And leave it up to Peter. None of the rest of them would answer, so Peter jumped right in. And he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What did that word mean, the Christ? It literally means the anointed one. Now, in the old days of prophecy, a prophet would be anointed to complete a particular task. He would be anointed to go prophesy for the Lord. And so Jesus saw himself in that line that he had been appointed for a particular task. Peter's confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," is the actual hinge pin of the Christian church disciples of Christ. Everyone who is a member of the Disciples of Christ has answered that question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and your Savior? I have a picture right behind my desk on the wall, and it's a picture of Caitlin Andrews and Atticus Walker. It's behind my desk at the moment. At the very moment I was asking them that question, "Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and your Savior?" What do those three words mean, or three phrases mean? Christ, Son of God, Savior. Well, we've already talked about the Christ. It means appointed for a particular task. Jesus knew that he had work to accomplish on this earth. He knew from a very young age. You remember when he was 12 years old and he was in the temple in Jerusalem teaching the elders about their own religion. When he was baptized, he was in the Jordan River, and a dove descended on him. He knew that at that moment, he was being baptized, anointed for a particular task. When he went around the countryside gathering his close followers, he gathered exactly the group that he would need to complete his task. He knew when he entered Jerusalem that last time that he was at the point of completing the task that he had been anointed for. And in those last seconds of his earthly life, when he committed himself to God, he had completed that task. His Christ work was done. So we are asked the question, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and your personal Savior? What does that mean, Son of God? Aren't we all children of God? Yes, I believe that we are. But I believe that the Son of God that is spoken of in this passage is a divine human being. I do not understand all the mystery of the Christ. I don't believe any human completely understands that. But I do understand that Jesus stood in a particular relationship with God that never before and never since has been attained. We use phrases like, for God so loved the world. And the result of that love was Jesus of Nazareth. So that Jesus became divine in the living of his life. But at the very moment of his birth, his divinity was there. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and our Savior. What does that mean to be Savior? For me, it means that Jesus Christ is the bridge between me and God. And that bridge works in several different ways. One way is that I learn from studying from the life of Jesus in the New Testament what God is like. I also learn what God expects from me in the study of Jesus. Jesus brings me to God, is what I'm trying to say. Paul would put it this way, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. When we utter those words, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and my Savior, we are saying several things. We are saying that we are in a relationship with God because of Jesus. That works for me. Amen. Y'all have a good week. I look forward to seeing you soon.